Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, if you would, please. I guess I better turn this on. Anyway, praise the Lord. And for His provision also, the Lord's been providing lately, like He always does, but I mean just for different needs and things that we have. And I'm just shocked at how the Lord, I shouldn't be, I should just believe Him, amen. But it always is a blessing and a surprise to see how the Lord provides for different needs that we have for the ministry and different financial things that the Lord brings in money for. And we don't ask people for that money. We don't charge for anything that we do out there for CDs and everything. Last month we sent out 700 CDs. And that was all free, all the postage and everything. And And we include all the postage is included. We don't charge anybody for any of those things. We send it all out. Yep. So, but they're, a lot of the orders are like 15 CDs, so they're in boxes. So I think last month we must have had like, I want to say it was like, besides separate ones that go because, 30 different orders or something like that of CDs, like 30 different boxes, and you have to take them in groups because they only let you take 12 at a time to the post office. That post office out there, yeah, that they'll accept it. So it's like 12 at a time or whatever. Yeah. So you have to make a couple trips, yeah. No, it does. Because if you don't have some commercial thing, that's how they do it probably for residential. Yeah. Because they want you to do it all commercially where it's just easy and they don't have to do it, But, yeah. Whatever. It's fine. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how things go. But I just praise the Lord for it. And God's provided with all that. We send those out. And it's funny because I get letters from all over the world. Amen. It's kind of neat. We just had one come from Hawaii today. This evening I got it in there. So praise the Lord. The Lord provides. Amen. He certainly does. He takes care of the ministry. He takes care of the needs. Anything extra that we have need of, the Lord always provides for that. I thank the Lord for that. God shows His hand and His power. Amen. And when He wants to bless a ministry, He does. Amen. And we wants to if we will obey Him and do His will and follow Him and continue to follow Him humbly and seek His face, then He'll bless us. I'm sorry, but you'll never get me to deny the blessings of God, that this is what God is doing and this is the work of God. Might not sit well with some people, but I never have cared about that in the first place. Whether it sat well with anybody, as long as God was doing His work and we were obeying Him and following Him. Amen. That's what matters. Yep. Hey, look, there's a runaway. There he goes. He's walking. All right. Anyway, so praise the Lord for that and praise the Lord for His. I don't want to ever get used to the blessings of God as far as taking them for granted or taking for granted the work that the Lord is doing. Amen. I'm not going to take that for granted and how He's blessed and how He's brought. Even before I get started here, I want to say I just praise the Lord for what He's doing here and the work that He's doing here. And I'm not going to despise the blessings of God, even the ones that you and I would consider a smaller thing or whatever. Just the fact that God is bringing people here. And they're not coming here because this is a soft sell church or that we're selling people on the fact of being here or that we're compromising or that we're laying down Bible doctrine to try to get people here or whatever. We're not doing any of those things. God is doing that. Amen. God is doing that work, and he's gathered people here as well that can be used in the ministry. And if you look around, you see just the different things that God has provided for us. I think we ought to praise God for that. I don't take any credit for that at all. I don't, because I know I didn't do it. That's right. I'm not orchestrating all this. Believe me, I'm not organized enough to orchestrate anything like that. I'm really not. Thank you. It's true. It's true, though, isn't it? I mean, honestly, think about it. If you think about it, I already know that that's not of me. I already know that's not that's not of me. You know, that all this is not because of a man. This is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is because God said that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, right? That's what God said. That was his promise to his church. And he said that he would bless them. And he said that he would supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And he has done that. There are not very many ministries out there today that will send out things free to anybody who needs it. Listen, I'm still praying about what we're going to do about tracts, because I already have people that want tracts. They want the tracts that we're printing up. I don't know where that's going to go, and I don't know how we're going to do that yet. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, that's their problem. They're not Baptists. That's a major problem. That is a major problem to have. Wow. I just got an update on that. 30 regular subscribers on those. So 30 regular packages go out every month of our sermons. And we had a total of 814 CDs go out last month. So, yeah, praise the Lord. We had to go get about 2,000 CDs, and now we're going to be looking at that. The gospel ones were requested by people because they wanted to hand them out to people they knew. So we sent out a bunch of those gospel ones this last month. And amen. So praise the Lord. I'm just giving God the glory. I think when you don't talk about things like this, it doesn't, you know, you're not giving God the glory. Amen. I think it needs to be talked about. Amen. I look forward to that, brother. I appreciate that. And just, you know, so we praise the Lord for all of his goodness and his work that he is doing. And, you know, God doesn't like muzzles on oxes. That's why the Bible says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn, right? I tend to be the type of person, if you get a muzzle near me, I'm going to bite you. Amen? When I'm preaching the Word of God and I'm doing what God wants me to do, if you try to put a muzzle on me, I might bite your finger off. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put a muzzle near me like that. Amen. I just wouldn't. I know what God's called me to do. I know what I'm doing. If I'm not preaching heresy, if I'm doing that, then you know what? I wouldn't try to put a muzzle near me. Because I'm going to tell you this first and foremost, everybody here, and I love you. I will reject it. I will. Because I know that God is using this ministry for what he wants to use it for. For his honor and glory. And the day that I decide to put a muzzle on my mouth and say I'm going to change things or try to be politically correct or try to do things this way, we might as well forget about the power of God. We might as well forget about that. It's not going to happen. But by the way, it's not going to happen by the grace of God. I don't muzzle too easy. I never have. Did you know that I've had people try to tell me how to preach since I've started preaching? Isn't that amazing? And do you know another thing? I've never listened to him once. Because I've always knew what God called me to do. And I'm not perfect and I make mistakes, but I'll tell you one thing. What you see is what you get. I'm not hiding anything. I am who I am. I'm not perfect. I sure want to be, but I'm not. I sure want to obey God perfectly. I sure want to do his will perfectly. But I'm not one for being muzzled. You got the wrong preacher if you want that one. There's plenty of them. Just look around. You can find them. They'll let you put a muzzle on them for the right amount of money. I'm not scared about money. I never have been, and I never will be. By the grace of God, I'm not scared. I'm not scared. I never have been. All this, everything that God has done here, when we started this church, we separated from our Sunday, we didn't have any money. We didn't have any money anyway. So why in the world would I ever be scared about money when we never had any anyway? But God always provided it. And he always sent men in to do that. It's just the power of God. Amen. Thank God for his power. Thank God for his mercy. And thank God for his hand upon our lives. And may we never take it for granted. May we always praise his name for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14, excuse me. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now. Holy Ghost, I pray that you'd move in our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord. We're needy people. And Lord, we fail you daily. And sometimes we're weak, Lord, and sometimes we're feeble. We need thy grace, Lord. Now, I just pray, Father, that you'd help us, that you'd guide us and direct us and use us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. All right. So he says here, as you look at the background of this, he gives some instructions. Paul is, and he's talking, he's speaking in a way of a Christian soldier, how different soldiers, different people will be in churches. And we have to come to grips with this, that not everybody is the same in a church. You can't make cookie cutter models of yourself for everybody. And even as a pastor, I can't expect you got to be just like me, or you got to do it this way. No, we don't do that. Everybody's individual, and they're going to be a little bit different in God's. And some people have different challenges. They have different weaknesses. They have different strengths. I have weaknesses that you don't have. You have strengths that I don't have. That's just the way it is. That's reality. Okay. That's the reality of life. And we have to understand that as in this Christian life and in this warfare that we're in, that we understand that we don't despise the feeble-minded or the weak. We have to be careful that we don't treat the feeble-minded and the weak like the world treats the feeble-minded and the weak. All right, because it's so easy to do, to look down and to despise somebody. You know, in a regular military, if you look at somebody, you think somebody that they can't hang. You look at them, you're like, man, you know, you're not very impressed with them. You really don't want them around. If they don't want to shape up, you want them to get out of there, right? You just want them out of there. If they can't hang with you, if they can't hang with the troop, if they're not going to make it, and they're not, they just need to get out of there, right? Because they're just not that. But that's not the way it is in the Lord's army. Amen. That's not the way God wants it to be in the Lord's army. God has said the way that he wants it to be, and he's given us instructions here. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. We talked about the unruly. Hey, we can all get out of line sometimes. Amen. I know everybody here has had to repent over something. If you haven't, then you're not saved. So I hope everybody here has had to repent over something before in their life. Amen. So, but you know what? Sometimes we get out of line, and sometimes we got to get right with God. You know what? That's why we're to be long-suffering with each other. Not ready just to put each other away, you know, at the slightest infraction or even when we're pressed over things, that we're not ready just to throw each other over the ship. Anyway, now he goes on to talk about the feeble-minded. There are feeble-minded and weak soldiers. That's the first point I want to make. There are feeble-minded and weak soldiers that you have to understand there are going to be. It is sometimes hard for us to understand that there are men that are not lost, but they are saved in the Lord's army, but they are very feeble-minded and weak soldiers. They're not strong like they should be. They're easily shaken. They come to fear. They're easily shaken about. There is what the Bible calls a good soldier, and we'll look at that someday. But we can't forget about the feeble-minded. What does that mean? I'm going to show you in Scripture, but I'll also give you a definition here. Weak in mind, wanting firmness or constancy, irresolute. Okay? They're weak in mind. They're shaken very easily. Doubts and fears come into their mind and their heart very easy. And they're taken by their doubts and fears very easily. And you have brethren that are around you that are like this as well, that they are taken with that. And I'm telling you, we can't despise them for that. That's not the command of God. The command of God is to what? Is to strengthen them. Right? Is to comfort the feeble-minded. That's what we're to do. We're to comfort them. They're not firm or constant in purpose. They're not decided, not determined, wavering, given to doubt. They're not meant to resolve. They're not at resolve at all. They're not resolved. Did you know just because a man or a woman is full of doubts and fears, it doesn't mean they're lost? Did you know that? That doesn't mean they're lost just because they have doubts and fears. That doesn't mean they're a lost person just because they have doubts and fears. There are people that are feeble-minded in the body. And you know what? We need to respect that. Not everybody's like that is lost. No, they're shaken. So what do you have to do? You have to comfort the feeble-minded. You have to continue to give them firm comfort. So the Bible says. You see, they're not firm, but they're wavering all about. They're double-minded in some ways, and they become unstable. Not that they don't love Christ, but that they question even their own interest in their love for Christ. They question themselves more than they do God. They're looking too much to themselves, but they continue to look within themselves for the answers and for strength, and they will not get it from themselves. And that's part of the problem. They become feeble-minded because they constantly look at themselves. Means to be weak, destitute of much strength. One man said it this way, those of little souls, the faint-hearted, those who on the eve of a battle are dispirited because of the number of the enemy and their own feeble and unprovided state. On the eve of the battle, they start to get scared. When the trials come, when the devil starts shaking them, when he starts whispering in their ears, they actually become weak. They become dispirited and they don't want to fight. That's exactly where the devil wants them to be. Don't you understand? That's exactly where he wants you. He wants you to be weak and scared. Let them know, though, that the battle is not theirs, but it's the Lord's. And those who trust in Him shall conquer. See, you know, sometimes we can fear in the battle and become weak. Weak in the mind and forget that the battle's the Lord's. We just forget that it's God's battle. Your daily walk, it's the Lord's battle. And you have to trust in the Lord through everything that you go through. You cannot have your eyes on yourself, but you see the challenges ahead and you start to look at your own strength and you think, I'm not strong enough to do this. Well, that's right, but He is. He's strong enough. Sometimes you wonder about the state of your soul, whether you're saved or not. And you question that, and you question that, and you question that, and you question that, and you go through turmoil over that, and you put your soul through turmoil. And the answer is, He is able to deliver thee. Yeah, the good work that He has started in you, He'll perform it unto the day of Christ. Amen. It's not your work, friend, it's His. You have to have faith. You have to trust Him through that. Many saints can be under demonic attack and they have a testimony of Jesus Christ saving their soul and they know that they repented and put their faith in Christ. But those devils come attacking and whisper in their ear and they weaken them and make them fear. And then you look at the arm of flesh. You look at yourself. The dispirited, the disheartened, the downcast. To do this is also the duty of each church member, each one of us. It is our duty that when we see our brethren feeble-minded or we see them weak, that we encourage them, that we comfort them, that we lift them up. Not that we despise them for them being that way, but that we lift them up. We comfort them. We encourage them. We encourage them with the Word of God. The Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. These words. Amen. The Word of God. There are almost always those who are in this condition, and it's not easy to appreciate the value of a kind word to one that is in that state. But Christians are assailed by temptations. In making efforts to do good, they are opposed and become disheartened. In their contest with their spiritual foes, they are almost overcome. They walk through shades of spiritual night and find no comfort. You know, sometimes you have a great battle, spiritual battles, where you're facing all these things. And you know what? You start to get weary. you start to get weak, and then you start to get afraid, and then you start doubting God, and then you go through this constant turmoil, and you put your soul through that, and you put your life through that, and it makes your journey, listen to me, it makes your journey harder. It makes your quest to heaven harder. I mean this life, this quest through this life, it will end when you draw your last breath here and open your eyes up in heaven. And you will find out, as Feeble-Minded did, when he, in Pilgrim's Progress, part two, that we'll talk about, Feeble-Minded, what he did. Feeble-Minded, he made his quest a lot harder. At the end of his journey, he found out, you made your journey a lot harder than what it should have been, because you constantly lived in a state of fear, and you were feeble-minded, and you didn't trust in the Lord as you should have. They walk through shades of spiritual night and find no comfort. In such circumstances, how consoling is the voice of a friend? How comforting is it to feel that they are not alone? How supporting to be addressed by one who has had the same conflicts and has triumphed? He who has that experience should help a weak and sinking brother. He should make his own experience of the efficacy of Christ in his trials and conflicts, the means of sustaining others in their struggles. There is no one who would not reach out his hand to save a child that was drowning in a rapid stream. Yet how often do experienced and strong men in the Christian faith pass by those who are struggling in the deep waters where the proud waves have come over their souls? Instead of giving an encouraging hand to them and saying, hey, listen, it's all right. God's promises are true. God is faithful. Even through this struggle and this trial that you're going through, God is faithful to see you through it. He'll see you through it no matter what it is. Amen? Doesn't matter what it is. He's able. Isaiah chapter 35, verse number 3 says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Strengthen, amen. You've got to strengthen those that are feeble-minded, that are afraid, that are in fear, that are questioning themselves. They're shaken in mind. Paul talked about them. He said they were told that the coming of the Lord had already happened. And what, they were so soon, what were they? Shaken in mind, right? They were afraid. They were scared. They thought, hey, we missed it, man. We're done. What happened? We're going to hell. Right? They thought trouble was there. They were shaken in mind, weren't they? Don't forget about your struggling brethren who are feeble-minded. They may not be strong in the battle, or they might not be a strong soldier, but you that are strong should help the weak, the Bible says. Not despise them for their weaknesses. You don't want to bash the weak, but you want to help them. Now, nobody wants to ever admit that they're the weak, right? We don't ever want to do that, right? We don't admit we're weak. And we don't want to do that, do we? But you know what? We're to comfort the weak. We're to comfort the feeble-minded. Now, again, I'm not talking about openly rebellious people who have chose to disobey the Lord or those that are unruly, because the Bible says we warn them that are unruly, and sometimes very sharply. But the weak, we are to comfort them with the promises of God. We are to give them comfort over and take them to the Word of God. Always take them back to the Word of God for comfort. Always take them back to the Bible. That's the only place that they can receive the comfort that they need. It's the one place that they're probably neglecting, and the reason why they don't have that strong comfort that they need, because they're not feasting on God's Word enough. Many times, if you don't feast on God's word the way you should, and you're not desiring and hungering after righteousness and thirsting after righteousness, then you're not going to be filled and you're not going to feel strong. You know, when you have a good meal, you feel strong, right, to go out and do some work, right? If you have a good meal and you've ate and you feel strong to go do the work that you need to do. But what happens if you don't have enough food and your body's destitute of the food that it needs? What happens? You get weak, right? It's harder to work like that, right? If you're weak and you're malnourished, right? You can't work the way that you should. That's the same way in this Christian life. If I am not feasting on God's word, if I'm not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, then guess what? I'm going to get feeble. Even more so. And some are prone to feebleness. Some are just prone to feebleness. It does not make them lost. It does not make them bad people. It means they need to be strengthened. It means God has given you a wonderful ministry. You know what that is? To comfort the feeble-minded. Amen. Might be your wife. Hey, might be your husband. Amen. Might be your husband. Nothing wrong with that. A wife comforting her husband with the Word of God, too. There's nothing wrong with that. There's not sin in that. There's no sin in that. Amen. Nothing wrong with that at all. Comfort the feeble-minded, such as from a natural want of energy and firmness, or from deficiency in Christian faith and confidence. They were disquieted amidst the calamities of life. Man, everything was, persecution was coming. People in Thessalonica, they were going through persecution. They were having all these bad things happen to them and everything else. And you know what? Some of them were fainting under it. They were faint-hearted. The worldling might despise them for their cowardice. The religious censor might blame them for the culpable distrust. But Christianity took them under her protection and here commands their firmer-hearted brethren to soothe and cheer them amidst the struggles of faith and the adversities of time. Faint-hearted. They were faint or they were disheartened in consequence of the loss of their friends. Many were dying. Their friends were dying off. They were being killed and different things were having persecuted. Could you imagine that? If that swept through and you were watching people that you loved killed and martyred for the faith, and you were watching that and you were burying your friends and watching them, placing them in the ground, and all these things were happening around you, and it would become faint-hearted. They were like, well, when are we going to be next? It's coming for us now. And they had fear. They became feeble-minded. It may also include those who are perplexed with doubts as to their own spiritual condition. Man, that's a big one. That's a big one. You can always tell that somebody is feeble-minded by the fact that they have those constant doubts and fears after they've been born again and they know that they've had that time when they've repented and put their faith in Christ. That they doubt and they have fears. And they're to be comforted through that. Not despised. Sometimes you have to firmly speak to them to get them to wake up and understand the promises of God and accept the promises of God. There are some people who are so weighed down with the sense of their modesty to incapacitate them from using their abilities. They're afraid to use what God has given them or gifted them with because they're afraid of that, so they let it weigh them down. Others, again, are so oppressed with the thought of sin that they despair of gaining the victory and give up all their endeavors. Those need encouraging with the promises of God and with the lessons and examples furnished by experience and by the scriptures that teach us that heart courage is what the faint-hearted require. And this takes me, I'm going to read you a portion of this from Pilgrim's Progress just to give you an idea here, Christiana's journey, to give you an idea of feeble-minded. Because feeble-minded is a perfect, I've met a few feeble-minded people. I've pastored feeble-minded people that are they're soon shaken and they become very weak at different times in their lives. And, you know, that can happen to any of us. But they primarily have that trait about them, that they are feeble-minded. They're not as strong and bold and straightforward. And you know, they just don't have that. That's okay. There's going to be people like that in the church. And that doesn't mean that they shouldn't be there. It means that you and I have a duty to comfort them. You and I have a duty to be there for them and to encourage them and to lift them up, not to despise them for that. Remember that. God is very clear about that. Listen, we're not like the evolutionists. It's not survival of the fittest. Amen? We're not like that. Listen to this. While at the house of Gaius with the pilgrims, Mr. Greatheart and his companions went forth to the haunt of Giant Slaygood. When they came to the place where he was, they found him with one feeble-minded in his hands, whom his servants had brought unto him, having taken him in the way. Now the giant was rifling with him, with a purpose after that to pick his bones, for he was of a nature of flesh eaters. That's a whole other story. Anyway, it's weird. If you study the history of giants, that's not uncommon. Anyway, out of the giant's hands, Mr. Feeble-minded was delivered, and the giant himself was slain. Poor Mr. Feeble-mind, let us read what he says about himself. He said, I am a sickly man, as you see, and because death did usually once a day knock at my door, I thought I should never be well at home. So I betook myself to a pilgrim's life and have traveled hither from the town of Uncertain. Makes sense. Where I and my father were born. I am a man of no strength at all of body, nor yet of mind, but would if I could, though I can but crawl, spend my life in the pilgrim's way. When I came at the gate that is at the head of the way, the Lord of that place did entertain me freely. Neither objected he against my weakly looks, nor against my feeble mind, but gave me such things as were necessary for my journey, and bid me hope to the end. When I came to the house of the interpreter, I received much kindness there, and because of the hill difficulty was judged too hard for me, I was carried up that by one of his servants. See that? I'm not done yet, but do you see that? What does he say? He got up to that hill of difficulty, and he couldn't get up there. And what one of his servants said, no, I'll take you. You got to go. Come on, let's go. Sometimes your feeble-minded brethren, you need to pick them up and you need to carry them through. You need to bring them through. Or your feeble-minded sisters, you need to bring them through. Amen? That's what we have to do. Bring them through that. I was carried up that by one of his servants. Indeed, I have found much relief from pilgrims, though none were willing to go so softly as I am forced to do. Yet still, as they came on, they bid me be of good cheer, and said that it was the will of their Lord that comfort should be given to the feeble-minded. And so we went on their pace. So they went on their pace, their own pace. When I was come up to the assault lane, then this giant met with me and bid me prepare for an encounter. But alas, feeble one that I was, I had more need of a cordial. So he came up and took me. I conceded he should not kill me. So this giant grabbed him and took him, right? And he was feeble, so he didn't fight him back. He wasn't strong enough to fight him back. Also, when he had got me into his den, since I went not with him willingly, I believe I should come out alive again. So he says, you know what? I'm weak. I'm a weak person, but I still love the Lord. But I'm weak. And God sees that. What does he say? God's attracted to weakness. Amen. He takes care of the weak. Those that are feeble-minded, he cares for them. He doesn't despise them. He's not done with you because you're weak or feeble-minded. God's not finished with somebody like that. He's just begun the work in them. By the way, that's part of this ministry. One of the goals is to preach to people and to help encourage them to be strong and to stand. And I get letters from all over the place by the glory of God. I get letters all over the place. People say, you know what? I just want to thank the Lord for that ministry there because, you know what? You guys have encouraged me just to stand where I'm at and to do what God wants me to do. Some of them go out and they preach. Some of these men, they're just going out and preaching. On the streets, handing out tracts, standing out in front of places. Why? Because they hear something and they're on fire and they're like, man, I can't just sit here. I got to go do something. I got to go do something. I can't just sit here. I got to go. What are they being encouraged? Where they were weaker in areas, they're starting to be encouraged. Why? Because they need somebody to come along to comfort them and give them some encouragement to keep going, to keep fighting. He says, I believe I should come out alive again, for I have heard that not any pilgrim that is taken captive by violent hands, if he keeps heart whole towards his master, is by the laws of providence to die by the hand of the enemy. Robbed I look to be, and robbed to be sure I am. But I am, as you see, escaped with life, for the which I thank my king as author, and you as the means. Other brunts I also look for, but this I have resolved on, to wit, to run when I can, to go when I cannot run, and to creep when I cannot go. As to the main, I thank him that loves me, and I am fixed. My way is before me, my mind is beyond the river that has no bridge, though I am, as you see, but of a feeble mind. Spurgeon goes on to say, poor soul, we know some just like him. It is not necessary to explain his condition or to dwell on his adventure. We pass on to his later experiences. The pilgrims tarried a while at the house of Gaius and feeble-minded got fattened up a bit. They had a glorious special meeting. And then Mr. Greatheart said it was time for the pilgrims to go on the journey again. Now, Mr. Feeblemind, when they were going out the door, made as if he intended to linger. The which, when Mr. Greatheart espied, he said, come, Mr. Feeblemind, pray do you go along with us. I will be your conductor, and you shall fare as the rest. Mr. Greatheart, who is, of course, the minister, insisted that Mr. Feeblemind should not leave the band of pilgrims. He wanted to go to heaven without joining the church. So Spurgeon is liking this to those that got to get in the church. Amen. And even God wants the feeble mind in the church. He says, hey, yeah, you're saved. You're born again. You got to get in the church. Amen. You got to be part of the local church. You got to be in there. You got to be there. And you know what? Greatheart was his conductor. He was of a great heart. If you study that story, which, by the way, has some valuable spiritual lessons in it. It's not the Bible. Amen. But it has some good lessons in it. And you know what? He talks. And what was Greatheart did? He gave him courage. He said, come on, no, I'll help you. I'll go with you. That's what we're supposed to be like. You're going to have people that, you know, if ever any of you pastor, one day you're going to have people that are going to be stronger. They're going to be weaker and everything else. But we still got to bring them all along together. We got to bring them all along together. And sometimes some of you may look at each other and think that way. But I think as children of God, I think differently. That no, we're all got to stay in the ship and we all got to keep going for the Lord. And we're not perfect and we're not going to be on this side. But you know what? We all got to stay in the ship and keep going together. We got to keep going together, keep fighting together. Amen. We can't let the devil divide us. We can't let discouragement divide us. Pride or anything else. But feeble as he was a man of very choice mind. Sterner people can bear a little laughing, and they do not take so much notice. I want you to listen to this part of how silly people dress. And they can even bear a debate over a question. But poor feeble-minded said this. He said, alas, I want a suitable companion. You are all lusty and strong, but I, as you see, am weak. I choose, therefore, rather to come behind, lest by reason of my many infirmities I should be both a burden to myself and to you. I am, as I said, a man of weak and feeble mind, and shall be offended and made weak at that which others can bear. I shall like no laughing. I shall like no gay attire. Remember us back then. The gay clothing, like the New Testament says, amen, like James says. I shall like no unprofitable questions. Nay, I am so weak of a mind as to be offended with that which others have liberty to do. So this moves into that comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, right? What is he talking? This all leads up there because the feeble-minded and the weak, what is the Bible talking about there? Bringing up questions that are doubtful disputations, things that will cause people to stumble and fall. Bringing up complex situations and things that will overanalyzing things and making things and going, you know, looking in too far to things as far as that are above what God would have us to look into. There are, by the way, there are things in the Bible that you and I don't have full comprehension on. So people ask us questions about things sometimes. We got to be careful about those things, not to allow that, because feeble-minded brethren can be weaker in that, and it can throw them. It can throw them off. It'll discourage them. And that's the way he was. He said, nay, I am so weak as to be offended with that which others have liberty to do. Their liberty in Christ, right? Yeah, Romans 14, we just did a radio show on that, and that goes along with the same thing, that liberty in Christ, right? That liberty in Christ, we're going to talk about that in a minute here a little bit. Spurgeon said this, I do not yet know all the truth. I am a very ignorant Christian. This is not Spurgeon. this is feeble mind. I do not yet know all the truth. I am very ignorant. I'm a very ignorant Christian man. Sometimes if I hear any rejoice in the Lord, it troubles me because I cannot do so too. It is with me as it with a weak man among the strong, or as if with a sick man among the healthy, or as a lamp despised. He that is ready to slip with his feet as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease, so that I know not what to do. But, brother, said Mr. Greatheart, I have it in commission to comfort the feeble-minded and to support the weak. What did that Greatheart say? He said, listen, it's part of my duty, and it's part of ours, too. That we that are of great heart, we that are of strong hearts, and that we would encourage those that are weak. Amen. Greatheart said this. He said, you must needs go along with us. We will wait for you. Listen, we will lend you our help. Romans chapter 14, he says this, we will deny ourselves some things, both opinionative and practical for your sake. We will not enter into doubtful disputations before you. We will be made all things to you rather than you shall be left behind. I want you to take notice that the duty of the weak to join the church is here and join, and also that those with whom they join are to be gentle with them. So what it's saying is, you know what? There are some discussions that we don't need to have in front of younger brethren. You don't need to have those discussions. Why? Because it might shake them. That's why you got to be careful about online, getting online and studying and searching out all everything. Especially if you've not been grounded in faith. If you're not grounded in the faith, in the milk of the word, and in Hebrews chapter, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 6, I think it is. If you're in the first principles, if you're not grounded in the first principles, stay off the internet. Okay, don't be floating around reading about everybody, all this other theology on there. Cause you know what it's going to do? It's going to mess you up. There's a guy in Canada right now. He's so messed up. He wanted to be a part of this ministry. He's so messed up right now. He's so carried away with every wind of doctrine everywhere. I know another guy. There's another guy up in the north there, or not the north. Where is that? Towards Washington, I guess, Oregon in that area. Another fellow that direction. You know what? He's just as messed up. And he started hear one thing, man. He's carried away with every wind of doctrine. Why? Because he's going out and he's studying all this stuff that he's not even grounded in the faith well enough to do. And he has no guidance, and he has nobody. He's just out there on his own doing all these things. And what is he carried away with? Every wind of doctrine. He's carried away with all kinds of different stuff. And you know what? That's the danger that you and I have to be careful is introducing things like that to people that they don't even have the fundamentals down. You know, they don't even have the first principles down. And we don't want to introduce those things to a bunch of people. Just things that are questionable and things that, you know, that what's that? Strong meat. That's right. And you got to be careful about that. So we want to be careful about bringing up those kind of questions. But you and I are to be like great heart and comfort the feeble-minded, those soldiers that are given over to those doubts and fears. By the way, a sign of a strong soldier is not one who flexes his muscles and can yell the loudest, but one who supports the weak. Amen? That we bring people along with us and be like, come on, man, we'll help you. So there's people that come on the street, I'm not a preacher. That's okay, come on anyway, you come with us. You don't have to preach, hand out some tracts, hold a sign. Pray for us. Come on out. Amen. I don't have to force you to preach. I don't have to force you. No. Just come along. Amen. That's right. Out of battle. That's right. Amen. And that's the same. That's what we're to be. We're to be that same way. We're to carry them. We're to comfort them. And the weak. Support the weak. You know what support the weak means? It means like if there's somebody that's hobbling along, right? And they're not going to make it out, right, of that. What do I do? I give him my arm, right? That the other day, where were we at when that lady fell on the ice? Remember that? I was at the event. Yeah, that was there too. But somebody at Monday fell too, and they at Black, and they fell. Oh, he's a drunk man. It was a man, yeah. Sorry, I don't know. Anyway, he regardless fell on the floor. We don't know what it was, okay? But anyway, somebody. Yeah, and they fell. And what do we do? Give them a hand up. That's the same thing we do to each other. Amen? No, we don't take a video. Put it on. They watch it and laugh at people that are drunk that are walking in the streets. Right? No. What do? We give them our hand, right? We give them our arm. We say, come on, let's go. Get you out. Amen? That's what we do. We're long-suffering and we're loving and kind with that. 1 Corinthians 12:22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble. What are they? Turn there. 1 Corinthians 12:22, please. Just turn and see what the Bible says here. First Corinthians 12:22. Look what the Bible says here. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Amen. Yes. God cares. Amen. God wants them in the body. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. The feeble ones. They're necessary, amen. God wants them there. The Bible says they're just as important as the strong. You know, maybe your brother may fear some things. Maybe he may fear different things that come his way. Maybe maybe there's, you know, struggles that he has. And maybe they're not, everybody that comes here, they're not going to be bold as a lion on everything, okay? They're just not going to be. And they don't have to be here. Amen? What they have to do is be saved and baptized and love the Lord Jesus Christ and want to follow him. Amen? And God will build them up. And you know what? They may never light the fire down the way there. But you know what? You know what I find about those people? God uses them in different ways. And they become so necessary. You just see it. I mean, ways that you wouldn't even imagine that God uses those people to be an encouragement. Everybody has, that's the thing we have to understand. Everybody is stronger in areas and we're weaker in different areas. Every one of us. That's right. That's right. And I mean, we have to understand that there are people that are going to be, they're going to be different. And you know what? They don't have to be like you and they don't have to be like me. They got to try to be like Christ. Amen. They got to follow the Lord. And but if they're weaker in some areas, then help strengthen them. Help them to be stronger. Right? Help them. You know, God wants to use them right where they're at. Amen. But they're important to the body. They're important soldiers. By the way, it also doesn't mean that if somebody's not a preacher, not a bold person, that doesn't mean they're not right with God either. That doesn't mean that they're wrong with God. But you know what? We all need to go and be a part, though. Amen. Especially as men, we need to be a part. You don't have to be bold to hold a sign. Amen. Brother Ryan started holding signs and handing out tracts a year ago. He's preached a couple times. Amen. That's right. But he's faithful. He's always engaging in conversations with people. The first time he got there and preached, he made people mad. Right, Brother Ryan? He did a good job, too. Amen. I enjoyed him getting up there reading scriptures. Do you know what? God gives brethren with different gifts and strengths and everything else. That man has written two things. I can't even write a sentence. You tried to read my notes. But God has used him to write tracts. He's going to use him to write more. Why is that? Because God uses people the way he wants to. Not the way we think that everybody should be. That's why you and I have to be careful about thinking that somebody has to do what we have to do. Because then we'll despise them. And the Bible says that they're necessary. Different ways. Every part. There are some people here that never are out in the front. They're never out line. But you know what they are? They're strong and they're part of the backbone. And they pray and they give and they seek God's face and they're faithful. Amen. And God increases their boldness all the time. Amen. Amen. I've watched it. I've watched people here over the years become bold. I've watched God give them a boldness and they've grown. And no, just because they don't open their mouth like I do and say, I'm not the standard, God is. So they don't have to be me. And I don't want anybody to be me. I want you to be what God, I want you to be like Christ. Amen. That's what I want. I want you to be like Christ. That's who I want you to be like. I want to be like Christ. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. That's what I want to be like. Less of me and more of him. That's what all of us need. But you know what? We're all going to have strengths and we're going to have weaknesses. Now, Brother Ryan's going to have to encourage me to do some writing. You have to help me, Brother Ryan. Amen. I appreciate that. He's going to have to help me. You know, when you have strengths, that, you see how that works? You see how God can use that? You got to have a lot of patience, brother. I'm serious. A lot. Brother Bicey's not kidding because he's seen my writing. Right, Brother Bicey? It's challenging. It's challenging. But amen, that's okay. Oh, do you? Yeah, well, I understand. True statement, okay? I understand completely. It's the power of God, because none of it makes sense to me half the time until it's preached, and then You know, but the, amen, that's the gifts of God. That's what God does. And that's why God brings people into the body, amen. They have different strengths and different weaknesses. Where I may be feeble in an area, somebody may be stronger. Where I may be faint in an area, somebody is stronger in an area. That's how God made us. That's why, that's how body works. And that's why it's important that everyone is there, that nobody gives up, that we don't let anybody just faint. Amen? We don't want anybody to faint. We want to be there for them. We want to lift them up. We don't want to maximize on any faults or weaknesses that somebody has, but we want to strengthen them. Amen? Never think little of your brother because he may not be as strong as you in an area. There are many areas that you and I will excel in, and some others will. Listen, Greatheart didn't insult the weaker brother and discourage him from going on pilgrimage. And by the way, I'm not saying anybody here is insulting anybody. I'm just, this is just teaching, amen? That's all it is. I've never heard anybody try to discourage anybody here or anything like that. I don't get that from anybody here. All right. So I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that for that purpose. I'm saying that all of us want to continue to encourage each other. It is our duty when we see a feeble-minded person that's weaker, that we come along and we strengthen them. We help them. That's all. There's nothing. I've never known anybody here to bash anybody or come down hard on them or drop a hammer on them because they thought that they weren't superior in a certain way or something like that than somebody else was. You know, sometimes you can preach things. There has to be something wrong to preach something. Amen. You just preach the Bible. Amen. Doesn't have to be something wrong. You know, amen. Preach the word. That's right. You just preach it. Why? Because you know what? Someday we're going to see somebody. We're going to be like, you know what? I can help you. Let me help you with that. Amen. Let me help you. Let me encourage you to do that. And you don't know what that does for people when you do that. I've met people before that. Or, you know, they've sent me texts and emails and messages that, you know what? You just don't understand where I was a few months ago. And, you know, the old Past Baptist's ministry of putting sermons online, everything, we found them. And the Lord strengthened my marriage. And you know, I had somebody send a testimony today. She'd said that her relationship with her husband's a lost man. And she said she found my series on Keepers at Home and the different sermons that were there. And she said, I listened to him and I thought I was being a submissive wife, but I wasn't. And she said, I listened to those sermons and I was encouraged on what God wanted me to do. And I've done it and our relationship has gotten better. And I'm that much closer to, you know, leading my husband to the Lord and trying to show him who Christ is and being a better example to him. Hey, man, that's what we want to do. Listen, you and I are, if we have a great heart, then we should encourage our feeble-minded brethren. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Spurgeon said this, though we cannot love their weakness, yet we must love the weak and bear with their infirmities, not breaking the bruised reed. Infants must not be turned out of the family because they cry and are unquiet and troublesome, though they be peevish and froward. Yet we must bear it with gentleness and patience, as we do the frowardness of the sick. If they revile, we must not revile again, but must seek gently to restore them, notwithstanding all their censures. This patience is far too rare. Listen to what he says here, and it's very true. We do not make allowances enough for our fellows, but sweepingly condemn those whom we ought to cheer with our sympathy. If we are out of temper ourselves, we plead the weather or a headache or our natural temperament or aggravated circumstances. We are never at a loss for an excuse for ourselves. Ouch. That one kind of hurt a little bit. Why should not the same ingenuity be used by our charity in inventing apologies and extenuations for others? It is a pity to carry on the trade of apology making entirely for our home consumption. Let us supply others. True, they are very provoking, but if we suffered half as much as some of our irritable friends have to endure, we should be even more aggravating. It's true. Think in many cases of their ignorance, their unfortunate bringing up, their poverty, their depressive spirit, and their home surroundings, and pity will come to the help of patience. We are tender to a man who has a gouty toe, you know, toe with gout. Cannot we extend the feeling to those who have an irritable soul? Our Lord will be angry with us if we are harsh to his little ones, whom he loves. Nor will he be pleased if we are unkind to his poor afflicted children, with whom he would have us to be doubly tender. We ourselves need from him 10 times more consideration than we show to our brethren. For his sake, we ought to be vastly more forbearing than we are. Think how patient he has been to us, and let our hard-heartedness be confessed as no light sin. You know, it's interesting because this is the opposite of what the world teaches. The absolute opposite. Listen to this. Heathen philosophy, even Plato's, was systematically hard on the weakly. It anticipated modern theories and practice in such matters as the struggle for existence, survival of the fittest, and happy dispatch. In the exercise of the art of medicine, Plato held that it might serve to cure the occasional distempers of men whose constitutions are good. But as to those who have had bad constitutions, let them die, and the sooner the better. Such men are unfit for war, for magistracy, for domestic affairs, for severe study, and the best thing for such is to have done with life at once. Not hard to figure out where those Luciferian devils got some of their stuff from either, is it? Or where he got it from, Lucifer, right? Starting to see, when you study history, how this thing of abortion and evolution and all these things, how, you know, it's been a satanic trade all the way through. They just masked it and put a different package on it in this generation in the last 100 years to be able to get done what they've done with the eugenics movement. But it's all satanic. It's all been Luciferian the whole time. But you and I can't take on that same spirit when it comes to our brethren. The world in its pride is ready to crush them. It calls the feeble-minded man a fool, the timid a coward, and the weak a nuisance, and hustles them out. In struggle for existence, they have a poor chance. The law of the survival of the fittest has no mercy for them. Natural selection rejects them and sends them off to perish. But our Christianity is a higher law than the law of death and the weakest. It sees an immortality, a redemption by Christ, a value above all physical worlds in the humblest form of humanity. It stands before the weak and says, do not crush, but support. Amen. We can't treat each other like the heathen or the pagans do. Listen to what the Spartans did. The weakly or deformed child of a Spartan was thrown by order into the cavern called Apophytae in the belief that its life could be no advantage either to itself or to the state. The worst of charity is, complains Emerson, that the lives you are asked to preserve are not worth preserving. Huh. Oh, you thought it was all new? You thought all the eugenics, all that was new? No, Satan's had this plan for a long time. He's had his vessels forever. I mean, since the beginning of time, since the fall of man. So they just took the weakly and deformed child and threw him away. I mean, that's not new with Margaret Sanger. Same spirit of Antichrist. But let us not be like that, but let us comfort our weaker brethren. Feeble-minded made it through to the celestial city, though through his feeble-mindedness he made his journey much harder. But by God's grace, he still made it through. Those that are feeble-minded, they'll still make it. It's by the grace of God. They might come with many other hardships and struggles that you and I may not have, but we'll have different ones. Comfort the feeble-minded, such as are not able to bear the loss of near and dear relations, are ready to stagger under the cross and at the reproaches and persecutions of the world. Yeah, don't think just because somebody gets scared that they're not saved, you know, because of persecution, they think about that. Well, I don't know if I want to die like that. I don't want to watch my family die like that. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? I don't want to watch my family die like that either. That doesn't make you weak. It just makes you living. You're alive, okay? It means you have a pulse, okay? And you actually have a heart. Of course I don't want to watch my family suffer. Of course I don't want to die. I mean, I don't have any great grand idea of being burned at the stake with a smile on my face at this point, but God gives dying grace. Amen? But you know what? Just because you get scared of that, that doesn't mean you're lost. Do you understand that? That doesn't mean you're lost. Doesn't mean that at all. Don't ever think that in your mind that being scared of those things is a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. That doesn't mean that you're not saved or that you're weak or you're a bad Christian or anything like that. What does it mean? It means you have to strengthen yourself and trust the promises of God and know that His grace is sufficient for thee and He will see you through anything. And your fellow brethren need to comfort you. They need to support you. They need to lift you up and give you a hand. and help you walk. Amen. When you need it sometimes. Persecutions of the world and are almost overset with the temptations of Satan and are borne down and discouraged with the corruptions of their hearts. Speak a comfortable word to them. Encourage them with the doctrines of grace and the promise of the gospel. Support the weak who are weak in faith and knowledge. Strengthen them. Hold them up. Take the burden of the weak and carry it. Bear their infirmities. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What happened on pilgrims? Man, that sometimes they had to give each other a hand, right? Christian and faithful and hopeful, man. Once in a while, they had to give each other a hand up, man. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this one. What do you have to do? Come on, let's go. Amen. We're not leaving anybody behind. That's the way church has to be. We're not leaving anybody behind. Amen. Romans chapter 15 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. What's this talking about? Well, this is talking about not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness or a stumbling block to your brother. Sometimes you might say, there's people who say, well, I have liberty to do this, I have liberty to that. Yeah, but I'd be real careful how you exercise that liberty. Amen? Because you and I do. You know, there's some things that an older Christian can sometimes do that a younger Christian, I mean, it might shake them quite a bit or in different situations. And you and I have to be careful that we won't do that in front of our brethren to discourage them or to weaken them. Right? A Christian should have feeding lips and a healing tongue. Support the weak. Set to your shoulder and shore them up. Deal not as the herd of a deer do with the wounded deer. Forsake and push it away from them. Christ gathereth his lambs with his arms and bear them in his bosom. Amen. So you and I are to do the same. These are people that are in fear and we need to strengthen them. Just remember that, okay? Go back and listen to that show in Romans 14. You get to, people use Christmas and other things like that to try to say that, you know, well, they try to use it as an excuse to practice the holidays. And it's not an excuse to practice the holidays. It's not what he was talking about. And actually, you know, they would actually be guilty of offending their weaker brother if that was the case. Because what you're doing is you're sacrificing, eating things sacrificed to idols right in front of them, which was commanded not to do more than once. Right? So it's the same principle that they try to pervert, by the way. But anyway, that's something else. But the Bible says comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. What does that mean? You know what? They need some support to get up. You help them get up. Amen. If they need some support to keep going, if they need some comfort, then take the scriptures out and comfort them. Don't chastise them for their lack of faith, but try to encourage them. Sometimes you have to be firm, though, and say, listen, you need to trust God. You're not trusting the Lord. And give them some Bible and have them feast on the Word of God. But you know what? There are going to be some that are shaken in mind. There are some here that are shaken in mind sometimes. Some things throw you off. Some things weaken you. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes some preaching can do that to you. Okay? But you got to strengthen one another. And you got to strengthen each other. And don't think just because you may be feeble-minded that you're a weak Christian in every area, okay? That doesn't mean that. I've met some people that are very, well, in fact, feeble-minded, if you said that, when he went over the river, man, he just, yeah, it was like this big. He just went, it was this deep. They said, and he got over the river just fine. And he just went straight through. He just walked straight across. But man, there was others that the waves were roaring. And when he went into when they went into death and the waves were coming up and they were just like, and they were like to drown. They wouldn't get across. They were drowning. And feeble-minded went over with ease. Yeah, shallow. That's right. It was shallow. So you know what? I mean, it might surprise you that your brother might have other strengths. Amen. That's okay. You know what? You strengthen your. That's why God made a body. By the way, a husband and wife is the same way. A husband is going to have some strengths that his wife doesn't have. His wife is going to have some strengths that he doesn't have. And that's why when they're together, when God makes them one, that's why they can get through things. Amen. That's why God takes them through things. Because her strengths, amen, are necessary for you and your strengths are necessary for her. Amen. That's very important. And you know what? You don't look at your wife and despise her if she's the weaker vessel. You don't look at it and despise that. No. What do? You comfort her. Amen. You comfort her through it. You don't despise her. Right? And if she sees a weakness in you, she doesn't let everybody know about it. What does she do? She comforts you. Right? She helps hide that. You help hide that. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about weakness. Amen. You cover for one another. Charity covers a multitude of sins. Amen. A multitude of things. If I need to correct my wife, I don't go off and tell everybody I'm going to correct my wife, right? I do it. If I'm wrong about something, my wife has to come talk to me about it. She's not going to tell everybody. She's going to go talk to her friends about it, right? Everybody at church. You'll never guess what he did this time. Right? And that'd be bad. That is a big temptation to talk about things, you know, like that. And it can't be. You know what? No, you take care of it together. Amen. The Bible says it's a glory to conceal a matter. Amen. We want to conceal those things, not reveal them to the world. But you know what? Same thing with our brethren. We encourage our brethren. We encourage them. We strengthen them. Amen. And we thank God for each other. Amen. Thank God for the work that God is doing in our lives. Give Him praise and glory for what He does. Amen. Because we're not worthy. And He's blessed us greatly. I never thought it's amazing when I look back and I see all that God has done here and He is doing here. I'm just amazed. You know? So I think back when it was just me and Mom and Dad, Lee and Carrie. Before they had kids. Children. See? Children. Anyway, I remember that. I remember God bringing us through that. You know, strengthening us through it all. Amen. We praise God for that. And praise God for everybody here. And you pray for those that are moving here. Jacob Yates will be here. Jacob and Carly will be here Friday. Amen. So, and then next week, next Friday, Joshua will be here. Then Brother Finney will be here. Oh, PJ will be here next week too, right? He did? Or if he does? All right, pray for PJ. I don't know. Pray for PJ. Anyway, he should be here next week sometime. Pray for him. Brother Finney gets here March 15th. He leaves Texas March 12th. He closes everything out there. He gets a truck and he comes here. So, amen. And he's excited, let me tell you. He's excited to get here. He's ready to hit the ground running. Amen. Oh, pray for Brother Finney's mom. She's actually in the hospital right now. And she's ill with something. Her heart is bothering her. Okay. So you pray for her at this time. Okay. That also remember her in prayer. She would, you know, get through all this. Okay. And be strong. He's going to go see her next week for a few days. But pray for Brother Finney and that too. But, you know, a lot of people moving here, and each one's going to have different strengths and weaknesses. Amen. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Yep. His mother is saved. Yep. Amen. Praise God for that. But he was going to hire a moving truck, or he was going to hire some men to move him in when he gets here. And I said, no, we got plenty of people. We'll help you move in. You don't have to hire anybody to do that. So, what's that? Yeah. How much is he paying us? Yeah. Double what I'm getting. He'll get you out of jail when you end up there someday. Right? Anyway, praise the Lord. But just pray for each other. Amen. And remember, comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. Amen. And that's, by the way, that is all of us at different times. And there's some times that I'm shaken by things. And I need your prayers. And I need your help. Amen. The other day I sent you out there. I needed prayer. I needed it. I was being shaken and I needed it. Amen. So I don't pretend to be strong all the time. Amen. I'm not. I have to trust the Lord just like you do every day. I have to fight every day just like you do. And I have to stay encouraged every day. And I get discouraged sometimes. I don't let it know. I don't let everybody know it all the time. You know, but I do ask for prayer sometimes and I need it. And I appreciate you praying for me. I really do. Father, Lord, thank you for this church, Lord, and thank you for your mercy towards us. Thank you for each and every person here, Lord. Where I'm weak in some area, Lord, they're strong, and I thank you for that, Lord. And where I could be strong, Lord, some of you weak, and Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you that you brought us all together, Lord, by the Holy Ghost of God, by the power of God, Lord. I thank you for the boldness of men. I thank you for the strengths and the gifts that you've given each person here, Lord. Lord, things that I don't have and that I could never do, Lord, and you've given. And Lord, I just want to thank you for each person, Lord. Thank you for their encouragement to me, Lord, and their prayers. And Lord, I just pray that we would honor you and glorify you, and that, Lord, we would comfort one another and strengthen each other when we need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.